Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello.
Josh, my friend, as much as it pains us to say, Resident Evil 3 is not going down especially well, or at least it's not between us. And as the more people I talk to, the more people seem to just be kind of vocalizing the fact that it's a bit of a massive letdown. And although it's a very polished product and Nemesis is fun enough to fight and the gunplay is great and we all love Resident Evil 2, there's a lot of negatives. And when we kind of set between us that we're not really seeing them spoken about that much, so we're going to sort of dive into it. Where do you want to start? Because you've finished. I'm still going through it.
There are a lot of places to start, Scott, because again, like, to reiterate what you said, right, we've done a lot of videos in our time talking about the things we don't like in games that a lot of other people do like, but this is the first time I've been kind of scared to voice those opinions, because people are loving the game and I can see kind of why they are, but for me, when I was playing through it, it sort of tricked me into liking it for a long time because it looks gorgeous, the presentation is amazing, the feel of combat, the feel of the characters themselves are awesome, but I just couldn't get away from a bunch of these points that we're going to talk about today that just, for me, drag it down and make it a bit of a disappointment as a whole. And it's not a bad game, I want to clarify that. I don't think it's an outright, you know, 3 out of 10, 4 out of 10 disaster. It's just that, for me, it feels very much kind of rushed and phoned in, and it could have been better. And that's the main problem for me. It's that it's an okay game that could have been amazing. Because, like, for me, it's the lack of imagination that kind of first crops up. When it comes to this being a remake, it feels very, you know, by the numbers, very bare bones, very unimaginative and uninspired. Resident Evil 2 felt like it had a lot of heart in it, that remake, whereas this feels like very, very much, you know, we've got to do Resi 3, we've got to use what we built for Resi 2 and port it over, and we can do it again. It feels very much like them doing it again, rather than having a creative spark of, right, we can reinvent the wheel. We need to do this. We can make the original better, or at least modernize it for a new audience. And for me, that's fine. It makes for an okay game. But every single time I was playing it and going through levels, there were just sections upon sections where I thought, this could be so much better.
Yeah,
I mean, a bit more into it.
I noticed, like, right from the beginning, like, I really didn't like, I like the idea that it starts in first person. I was like, oh man, you're kind of, you know, connoting a bit of Resident Evil 7. But in terms of, like, a sense of place or a sense of plot drive, compared to RE2, which opened, you know, cutscene heavy, character heavy, like, this is why you care. And you can argue on the fan side that, like, everyone knows the backdrop of Resident Evil at this point. But opening on RE3 with the live action stuff where you've got, like, real people, that stuff just looked sort of strung together. I know it's a callback to the originals, but then in terms of, like I said, establishing a sense of place, you're just playing as Jill, first person. You've got three text entries that you can optionally read on a wall, and then Nemesis just comes crashing through the wall, and it's like, yep, there you go, that's kind of the whole game. And that is what they've advertised. It's almost this Halloween style thing of like Laurie Strode versus Michael Myers kind of thing, but I just, like, right off the bat, something felt so off to me. And then going through, and I like that they've sort of, they're exploring almost like Evil Within 2 style territory of, like, these semi-open world, you know, larger levels but you end up backtracking through them quite a lot, like, sort of zigzagging back and forth. I get this one item, my inventory space is crap, so I gotta ditch that, grab this, go back and get through it. And I know that that's an old school Resident Evil trope, but combined with the way that Nemesis was introduced, that complete lack of threat, really, he was just this big dude coming through the wall. I honestly thought, based on the trailers, they were gonna lead up to Nemesis a lot more. I thought they would do him justice in terms of bringing in some of the other lore stuff from, I think, one of the old novelizations or one of the old comics that dove into his origins and things like that. But the cutscene that they had in the trailer where he's been brought in on like a big, like, you know, medical stretcher looking thing before he gets unleashed on the city, I thought that would be a bigger build-up and we'd spend more time with Jill and you would care about why you're fighting Nemesis. I know they plug those things in over time, but I just, that opening I thought was like pretty atrocious.
I have a lot of similar gripes to you in regards to this. I will disagree in a way because I think the Nemesis's first, you know, introduction is well directed and quite menacing. But I agree in that it lacks any kind of sense of place or even kind of sense of purpose. You're right in that, you know, the game itself very much relies on you knowing why the Resident Evil stories or knowing what happened in 3 already. Mm. And to me, it just kind of acts as sort of like a greatest hits run through of what Resident Evil 3 was, rather than making the story itself, you know, stand out or feel important or feel integral to the whole universe. Because yeah, we have, you know, things like Nemesis hunting down the stars. We have Raccoon City, you know, literally being destroyed. You know, we've got the entire city under threat by zombies. Yeah, it doesn't, for me, it never feels that grand. It never feels like you're part of this city going to hell. It feels like you're exploring a couple of streets and you're filling in the rest in your mind because you know what Resident Evil is. And I feel like that excuse is being used a lot of, you know, well, everyone knows the story. Everyone knows what it is. And that is true to an extent, but there are going to be a lot of people picking up Resident Evil 3 for the first time. And the story feels threadbare. And it might have been like that in the original, but I don't think that's really much of an excuse because you could build on that so much more. Like you said, with Nemesis, there's so much potential to go into that backstory or give him a more complex backstory. Mm-hmm. But they just kind of, maybe they didn't dare to do that because that might have flown in the face of the original, but it would have been something.
Honestly, I fundamentally disagree with that assumption because this totally applies to Final Fantasy VII's remake as well, where the creatives got out there and said, well, you know, everyone already knows the story, so we're just going to jump past and get to the meat of it. For me, it's the worst way to do it because if you're going to remake Jaws, you wouldn't ditch all the build-up. The build-up is the point. The reason that they're an iconic villain, the reason you care so much is because you have that build-up and that payoff and it's methodically rolled out. That's why those movies are so rewatchable and those games are so replayable in the first place. I think that's a completely wrong way to go about reapproaching iconic villains and moments and stuff like that. Just get it out the way, get to the bit that fans remember, because you're not gonna bring any new fans in. Like, yeah, it's a cool little Easter egg nod, style nod to you know, returning fans, but I fundamentally don't think that works. And like I said, it applies to Final Fantasy VII as well. But yeah, in RE3, it just seems to be in such a big rush to get somewhere. Whereas, and maybe that's, you know, you can argue that's why people are diving in, but I think the runtime is a massive issue as well. Like, I mean, even when Jules reviewed it, he finished it in like 2 hours 50. I've seen people speedrunning it in an hour 10, and I just, considering that they're selling it for full price, that seems borderline insulting.
Yeah, I do want to get to the runtime, but I just want to quickly jump back to something you said about Nemesis there, in that if you directly compare him to Mr. X from Resident Evil 2, even though Mr. X was a part of the original Resident Evil 2, a lot of fans never actually, like, forgot about him. A lot of people forgot he was even in that game because they made him more of a focus in the remake, but they earned your love of him, if that makes sense. Like, the way he stalked you around the police station was so well done, in my opinion. The AI was so good and new and interesting, combined with his presence in cutscenes. Whereas when it comes to Nemesis, for me, his gameplay sections are actually kind of poor. Yeah. I think he comes across well in the cutscenes, and he's this big, menacing, intimidating figure, and I love the redesign. But, like, actually selling that in gameplay, it doesn't really work. I made a joke to you that his bazooka feels like the Wampa launcher from Crash Bandicoot 3. Like, things like that just feel a bit off. And I'm there wondering, is Nemesis, am I loving Nemesis in this game because they've done a good job with him? Or is it because I just love Nemesis as a character?
My thing is that I think they should have done way more with the evasion stuff. I think that if Nemesis gets you, he should just pop your head in an instant. It shouldn't be that he grabs you and throws you away, or, like, you know, bounces you off a wall or whatever. If this is the ultimate killing machine, then you should be terrified of being even remotely close to him. And I like the way that they write Jill as, like, this sort of battle tank that can, you know, she's, like, swearing loads and she's putting up with stuff and she knows that she can bring the fight to him. And I love that stuff. But I think that should have been more based on on having trade-offs with him and sort of barely hanging on to life. Like, you know, if you time the dodge right, you'll roll right under a zombie. And there should have been more stuff like that, I think, in terms of, you know, convincing you that Nemesis is this massive threat. And also, like, in the original, I know people have picked apart the actual coding of it and gone like, well, he was only going to appear in certain spots, but he felt ever-present. He always felt like he could be around any other corner in the same way that Mr. X did in RE2. Because Mr. X was literally walking around the level and you heard him, like you heard him above you and things like that. And that was so effective. In 3, although they try and like convince you that's what's happening, for me, it never feels like that. It feels like you're waiting for the next set piece and it's like the next big open space or the next like wider alleyway. It's like, well, I'm just waiting for him to, oh yeah, he broke through the wall and here he is again.
Yeah, I think that's part of a problem with 3 as a whole, because like you said, in the original game, it did feel like he was sort of ever-present, even though he was only really there for certain set pieces. But I think that's just because he felt so fresh. Even though we had Mr. X in Resident Evil 2, Nemesis was way more of a central focus in that game. But since then, and we've talked about this a lot, we've had a bunch of persistent enemies. So when it comes back to rebooting the franchise, instead of, you know, making his behavior a bit different or a bit more unique, they've kind of just modeled him on the same persistent enemies they've had before, including the original Nemesis. So yeah, like you said, there's no real surprise when you go into a big open area. You think, okay, here he is. Every time he gets quote unquote killed, you know he's going to come back. And that's, again, that's fine. There's nothing inherently bad about it, but it comes with sort of like the lack of surprise and the feeling that you're just going through this greatest hits album tour of, okay, this is where he arrives. This is where you pretend to kill him. This is where he comes back even more mutated than the last. And it's just, for me, it's just a bit uninspired, and I do feel a problem with Nemesis's gameplay sections is because they've used Mr. X from Resident Evil 2 as a base, and yet this is another major gripe, and I keep putting off the runtime. I've just got a lot of things to say, but a major gripe is that they've reused a lot of things from Resident Evil 2 that worked well there, you know, the core reused combat, the reused enemies, even some reused levels, but they don't fit for me the action focused style of Resident Evil 3. Even the combat, it felt so good in 2 because it was purpose-built to make you scared, to make you feel like you're wasting ammo. But in here, it doesn't really fit a game where you're supposed to be pushing forward and you're supposed to be killing enemies, at least for me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what I meant about like the way Jill's written. It's sort of like, and I like my comparison to something like Halloween, that idea of one main character forever dogged by this, like, you know, impossibly, you know, impossible to defeat sort of creature that's chasing him the whole way through. You need to focus the whole game around that, and I think that directly relates to how little time they had to develop it. Like you said, there's reused levels in here. There's one street that's directly in both games, and that stuff really stands out. I mean, I remember when they announced it and they said they were going to do Resident Evil 3 like 1 year later, and now they're already talking about doing RE8 and maybe another remake in the coming couple of years as well. But for me, it's I just couldn't escape that idea that it feels like DLC. It feels like something that was, well, I mean, very much was clearly born from Resident Evil 2's new engine, but to a fault where it's just like you're charging £50 for this. I don't know how much it is in America, but it's full price. It's a full price game, and the runtime is a factor. The level layouts are a factor. The enemy AI is a factor in terms of Nemesis, and I don't feel like I'm getting this next gen approach to something. Like for me, I think he was done better in the PS1 one.
Yeah, like I think a lot. I think even the idea of Raccoon City going to hell was done better in the PS1 one. Obviously, it's not graphically impressive, but the aesthetic of it, the feeling that you're trapped in the city, for me was done better then. Admittedly, it's been a while since I played it. But yeah, like when it comes to sort of the runtime and the reused assets and stuff, for me, I actually found myself wanting to defend this game before it came out because the runtime, even in advance of, you know, the game hitting shelves, was rumored to be very short. Yeah. But I wanted to be like, it doesn't matter. It's okay if it's short. As long as it's a top quality experience, it's fine. It's worth your money. I'd rather have that than have a bloated game. But actually playing it just does feel extremely rushed, and the pacing is all over the place. You don't get enough time to spend in places. The open world elements are like what you said, there's like barely a street, and I don't think there's enough secrets or incentives to actually explore, and they're over quite quickly. And yeah, it just does feel like it's kind of being slapped together, which is frustrating, because even though it's come a year later, apparently this was in development for over 3 years with a different studio, but it doesn't feel like that. We've mentioned the repeated street, but there are more repeated areas from Resident Evil 2, which I won't spoil. There are repeated enemies from Resident Evil 2. There are repeated, you know, entire, like, I don't know, animations. Just everything feels like it's being reused and repurposed. And that was fine for the original Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
But so many years later, when it comes to these remakes, I don't just want an exact replication of it, because then just give me a remaster. If you're going to properly remake something from the ground up, improve on what came before. Look at what it did well, look what it did bad, whether it was because of time, you know, ability, resources or whatever, and try to make that experience better and more modern and in more interesting. And I just feel like they haven't done that, and that's the most frustrating thing for me, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, yeah, like we said, we should talk about the runtime, because like even when once you've gone through this stuff and you kind of have this feeling of, I don't know if it's mediocrity, but just not hitting expectations, what was your complete time? Because I know, like I said before, like Jules was on about 3 hours. What was yours?
Mine was 4 hours, and that was with like getting all of the upgrades that you could get the first
trying
time
to around. Stretch it out.
Yeah,
because mine,
like,
I was gonna say, yeah, like I'm like about 45-ish minutes in, which means I'm probably like 3/4 of the way through the whole thing. And like, you know, it just, it's fine. It's totally fine. Excuse me. But I think, yeah, in regards to what we said about them turning it around so fast and it starting with another dev team, it feels like someone came in and said, well, if you just put a cutscene here and, you know, you've got all this gameplay meshed out, you've got all this stuff rendered, and you can stick some credits here, we can sell this. It's something that can be sold. And I wonder how much, like you said, there is that comparison to the original rollout, because obviously RE3 originally came out 1 year after RE2 and people were more than fine with it back then. Is that their fallback? Is that their cushion? Because it's like, well, you know, this is how it used to be and you guys didn't care back then. So
I do think that's certainly an element of it, but for me it is just how rushed everything feels. Like, you joke there that you're 45 minutes in and you've more or less seen everything, but like,
I'm gonna finish it on my lunch break.
I probably will, yeah. Every single time I was in an area, I just felt like I wanted to spend more time there. The one of the issues I had with it is that once you ushered on to the next part of the story, you can't go back. So that area is like locked off for you. And the way things develop is just so rapid, like the nemesis changing his forms. You don't get a chance to appreciate each distinct, you know, experience with him, because he's constantly changing, he's constantly moving on to the next thing. And there's a moment halfway through where I knew something was going wrong, where you swap to Carlos, because Carlos is playable in this game, you swap back to Jill for literally one boss fight, and then you're back to Carlos, and it's like, the structure of this game is all over the place, and I don't know how it got to be that way. I don't know whether it was, there are rumors that it was, you know, outsourced to a different studio, and I wonder whether that's the case. I have no idea, but I'll be fascinated to like look into a deep dive of it, because when you look at the game, like I said at the beginning, man, it fools you into thinking you're having the best time. The atmosphere is there. The way it looks is the RE engine is, you know, just
it's gorgeous.
Something else.
Yeah.
And like you said, the character of Jill is awesome in this game. It's just that these features, for me, aren't fundamentally supported by the core gameplay or the story or the way development has been approached.
I just think that they should have had, like, because for me, I feel like Mr. X is a better Nemesis than Nemesis. Like, obviously, Nemesis has the visuals, and I like that they gave him, you know, the whole thing where he can sort of kind of half mind control zombies and buff them and bring things back. And, like, that's cool, but just, you need to do way more with that. It makes me question, or it makes me wonder if that's why they ditched the Nemesis name from the title, because obviously it used to be Resident Evil 3 colon Nemesis, and they ditched that. And it's like, is that just something that happened later on? Because initially they were going to do this, put all these, you know, all these resources and effort and R&D into fleshing out all these different specific Nemesis combat mechanics, which just didn't happen in the end. It's just something feels so off about it. And for the most part, like you said, that level of polish, it looks absolutely gorgeous. There are a lot of positives to it, but you can't help. I mean, I can't say that I haven't finished it yet, but like from what you said, you kind of feel like you can't help hitting credits and just thinking like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's fundamentally why I wanted to do this video, because I don't think it's just an outright terrible game. It's just, like you said, there's an off feeling to it that I kind of wanted to try and verbalize, because it's hard to figure out what it is your first time through, because there is so much convincing you it is good. But then, like, when I hit credits, I thought I was going to play it. I thought I was going to get the Platinum Trophy, but I had no desire to go back to it.
That's not good. Do you have any other main points, or should we wrap this and hand it over to the baying fandom?
I think we've hit everything I wanted to hit, and now I'm very, very scared about what people are going to say.
Either they'll totally agree, or they'll be, oh my God, it'll just be Ben Roy in the comments, because he's the person going, no, it's totally fine, and we argue with him on a daily basis. So we'll see. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of Resident Evil 3 Remake. How have you got on with it? How does it compare to the original? Does it feel like it was worth the money? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.